Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who is with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Merry Christmas. That right there is what we would say is the point of Christmas. Am I right? That's why we're here. It's why we get to celebrate. But, you know, if we're honest, we probably all admit that there's a lot of points to Christmas for us. And maybe for you, maybe you're like, well, that's a nice story. But really for me, Christmas is about a lot of things. It's about getting together with family. I really enjoy getting together with family. Or maybe it's about giving gifts. You love to give gifts, and you love to just see that joy on people's faces when you surprise them with something special. Maybe you just love that time that you can kind of celebrate those family traditions, get that family picture in, which, by the way, there's a nice little photo set up out there if you didn't notice that. Did you see it coming in? No, if you didn't, get your family photos. It's great. They did a great job setting that up for you. Maybe for you, maybe it's, hey, I get to go to church an extra time this year. Is that why you love Christmas? No amens again. I don't understand. I remember as a kid growing up, we didn't go to church a lot. We would go like Christmas, maybe Easter, and that was just to not tick off grandma, right? But I know none of you are here for that reason. Right. No, we're glad you're here. The reality is there's a lot of good reasons. There's a lot of good points to Christmas, and none of those are bad things. So we're glad that you're here to celebrate with us and to be a part of all that God wants to do in your life this Christmas season. But here's what I would say is my hope in the little bit of time we have together this morning is to help you see that the main point of Christmas, the main message of Christmas, is really to help you belong. I'm going to say that again. My hope in this time that we have together is to help you see that the main point, there's a lot of great points about Christmas, but the main point of Christmas is to actually help you belong. See, the reality about belonging is it means so much to us that when we don't belong, we often try to go after things to make ourselves fit in and belong somewhere. I mean, we all know what it feels like to not belong, am I right? Yeah, we've all had times in our lives where we're trying to fit in, try to belong. I mean, I think back to growing up when I was going to school. I went to 5 different schools from kindergarten to high school. And I remember trying to fit in at every different place. And not only 5 different schools, but they were completely different, right? I went from being in, like, Cleveland Public Schools. And then we moved to the burbs. That was totally different. And we moved back to Cleveland, but then I went to Lutheran schools, right? I was like, what is this? We're praying in school? What is going on? Is that allowed? Right? Totally different. And I kept trying to fit in every place that I went. I never felt like I belonged. Maybe for you, it's, you know, when you're with your family. Anybody ever sit there at, like, family Christmas and look around and go, I hope I was adopted? I mean, that's a really good thing for my kids is they can look around and go, thank God I was adopted, right? But, you know, the reality is there are times like that where it can be a little fun or just the reality of life that, you know, there are always some awkward times where we don't fit in or we don't belong and we're trying to figure that out. There are sometimes a little more heavy-hitting times where we don't feel like we fit in or we belong. Just recently, one of our newest family members here at Shepherd's Gate, his name is Don, he sent me a message and asked me to come to his place of business because he had a question he wanted to ask me. I said, okay. So I headed over to his store, and he's a business owner not too far from here. And it's kind of cool. I got to sit there and watch as he sells furniture and mattresses and stuff and got to kind of watch him do his thing. It was pretty neat to see him in his element there. But then he sat down, and he said, look, we've been coming to Shepherd's Gate for about a year now, and before we really dig our roots in, I just have one thing I have to ask you. If we come here, are you going to kick us out? I said, Don, what are you talking about? He's like, no, I'm serious. He said, see, the last church we were at, I was there for 15 years. I was there for 15 years, and I poured everything I could into it. We were there every single time the doors were open. I was so involved, and I just loved the church. I thought they were all my friends. And see, he's like, you know, I'm a single dad, but I own a business, and so I needed some extra help. So we have, he has a lady that lives in the house with them and helps clean and run his son around and help with things around the house. And after being at his church for 15 years, they met with him and they said, because it doesn't look right that you have someone living with you, you need to kick her out or we're going to kick you out. He said, so I need to know, if I'm going to put my roots in here, if I'm going to become here, are you just going to kick me out too? I couldn't believe that he'd have to ask me that. But the reality is, when we're made to feel like we don't belong, often we carry that feeling with us, don't we? And here's what I would say. The reason that this is so important is when we feel like we don't belong is often the times where we end up seeking the wrong things to help us belong, to help us fit in. And we think back to maybe when you were in school, or if you're in school right now, think of the things that are done in our lives to fit in, to be with that crowd, to belong somewhere. How many times maybe we even put others down in our lives around us so that we feel like we're in the belonging crowd? Or even as adults, what do we do often so that we feel like we belong? How many times do we have the wrong priorities in life? How many times do we forget about the family to work those extra hours or to do this or to do that in order so that we might be able to, you know, afford that house or to go on this trip or to do this or do that so we can fit in with everybody else's Facebook life? So we can feel like we belong. What I would say is there's a lot of times that we do the wrong things to help us belong, to help us try and have that place where we feel like we matter. And so today, that's why it's so important for me to help you see that the main point of Christmas is to help you belong. And so that's what I want to do today, is we're going to actually look at Romans chapter 8. And the reason we're going to look at Romans today, what I love about Romans, it is a very hard-hitting book in the Bible, right? It's very pointed, very direct when it talks. It even has one of the more famous passages from it. It is actually, for the wages of sin is death. Yeah, that's a light one, right? Merry Christmas, right? But the reality is that what it's saying is all those things that we tend to do to try and fit in, to try and belong, to try and matter, often those are sins. Those are things that just aren't good for us. And they just lead to death. They don't lead to anything good. They don't lead to us actually belonging or fitting in. And so what I love is to look, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and when we look at it, we're going to see, not only is it hard-hitting on the other side of things, of reminding us what not to do, but it's going to tell us, here's how you belong. Here's how you fit in. Here's why you matter. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So this morning I thought we would go ahead and just kind of break this down so we can see exactly what it's getting after. Where is it that you belong? Why is it that you belong? And I love that it starts right off the bat. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And what I love about this, what I find exciting about this, is it doesn't have a list of to-dos. It doesn't have a list of things that we need to do in order to be a son of God. It doesn't say, for all who do this or act this way or behave this way or get all this stuff right or understand all this or take this test and pass it with a 90% or whatever it might be, those are sons of God. It doesn't say that, right? It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God. All who are led by. That means you don't have to be in charge. You don't have to be plowing down the right path. You don't have to be doing everything right. You just have to be willing to say, I'm willing to be led by God. I may not understand everything. I may not get everything. I may not even act the right way all the time. But you know what? I'm willing to trust God. I'm willing to trust him enough that wherever he leads me, it's going to be what's best. That's all it takes to be a son and a daughter of God. So you're willing to be led by him. So often we try to put too many things in our way to think, well, I have to do this or I have to do that. I have to act this way or that way in order to belong to God.
But the reality is, if you're just willing to follow him, if you're just willing to say, even if I don't get it, even if I don't understand everything, I'm willing to trust him. That's all it takes. I mean, for me, I think back to growing up. I grew up in a home with just a single mom, so I didn't have a lot of male influences in my life. But the ones that I did have were my uncles, David and Bill. And they are two solid guys. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I still see in my life now, as I try to figure out how to be a husband and a father, I didn't have that growing up except for these guys. And I remember thinking when I was a kid, looking up to them, saying, I think these guys are worth following. I think these guys are worth kind of modeling my life after. And even though I'm not their son, the fact that I still kind of model my life after them today will kind of point back to that, that they were father figures in my life. The same is true with our God. He's saying, look, I'm not asking for perfection. Instead, I'm asking for you just to follow. Just to follow me and see what would happen. See what would happen. The problem is often we get caught up. We get caught up with thinking that we still are in this spirit of slavery, right? That's in this next part. We still think that we somehow owe a lot to God or owe a lot to people, owe a lot to the world, and somehow we have to kind of work our way out of this place of slavery, this fear that we live in constantly, that we're not good enough, that we'll never be good enough, and so I need to do this or that, and we keep putting stipulations on ourselves. And often the reason that we struggle with belonging is we struggle inside to think that we're even good enough to belong, that we're even valuable enough to belong. But what does it say? You didn't receive the spirit of slavery. You didn't receive this idea that somehow you aren't worth it. That's not what God gave you. He doesn't want you to fall back into fear. He doesn't want you to live with him in this constant state of going, oh, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I need to do try harder. I need to do hard. No, instead, look at the next part. Instead, you have receive the Spirit as adoption as sons. And let me tell you, adoption isn't because somehow you're the most amazing thing in the world and you're going to provide for God or you're going to do something for God. Instead, it's because God is choosing you. God is choosing you. And I look at my boys, I'm not trying to adopt them because I somehow want them, you know, to take care of me. That's not what my thought is. My thought is, man, I just want to love them. I want to give them a place to be able to grow up and to be able to have a great life. The same is true for our God. He looks at you and he has adopted you, he has chosen you. Honestly, that's what Christmas is all about. That's why Jesus was born, right? Jesus actually broke through the barrier between heaven and hell to come here, between heaven and earth in order to come here to live this life that you and I have to live, right? This life that you and I struggle through. And he went through the pains and the struggles, and the trials, and the troubles. He even went through death on a cross. And he rose again, and he did all of that only so that you could be adopted as a son and a daughter of God. Also that you could belong. See, he sent his child to make you his child. And in those times where you start to think, you know, no, I'm not good enough, or maybe, you know, something's going on in your life, and go, really, am I really a son of God? Am I really a daughter of God? Why did I get these test results back the way I did? Or why did I get that pink slip? Or why am I being treated this way? Or why did she leave me? Or why did he act like this? Or why did they treat me like this? Am I really a son or a daughter of God? Here's what God says. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. In fact, you're not just loved, you're beloved. And what I love about this idea of you being beloved is it is that you're so loved, it actually changes who you are. You actually can be a beloved. That's a noun, right? You are loved so much that you're not just loved, you are loved. That's who you are. You're beloved. And because you're beloved, you belong. And because you belong, he wants to make sure that you know that every single day of your life. That's why it says the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit. This is what God does. He says, I love you so much, I don't want you to ever forget this. So I'm going to give you the Spirit. I'm going to give you my Spirit, who's going to dwell inside of you, who's going to be inside of you, and constantly reminding you that you are a child of God. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you out there on your own trying to figure this out. Instead, I give you my Spirit who will bear witness, constantly reminding you That when the world beats you down, or when you feel like you don't belong, or you start to struggle and wonder if you're really worth it, if you're really good enough, if you really matter, the Spirit is there to say, you are so beloved that you belong. And you are a daughter. You're a son of the Most High God. And if children, then heirs. And what I love about this next part, not just heirs, but fellow heirs with Christ. I think often we don't quite understand this picture. I love this. When it speaks to us, it's saying, look, it's not like it's God and Jesus, and you're important, you're still above everybody else. No, you're fellow heirs with Christ. That means with Jesus, who we are celebrating this Christmas, Jesus, who we get together and celebrate his birthday every single year like this, you are just as important to God as Jesus. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine if we did this for your birthday every year? Right? Everybody put up a tree and bought presents for other people. Right? But that's the value you have to God. Even if you don't have that value to everybody else, even if the rest of the world doesn't recognize your birthday the way we recognize Jesus' birthday, to God, you are a fellow heir with Christ. That is the love that he has for you. That is how much you belong. And then it reminds us one last time, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through this. So did he. He went through this world. He went through the pains. He went through the losses, the agony, the struggles. But don't forget, you still belong, so much so you're an heir with Christ, which means you're going to be glorified with him. And that's why when the world beats us down, when the world wants to take us apart, when the people around us aren't always the nicest, or maybe you're going to get together with family and it's not going to be exactly what you would hope it would be, I want you to remember this. You're an heir with Christ. You are so beloved that you belong. And not because you behave, not because you act a certain right way, not because of anything other than the fact that our God loves you so much that he sent his child to make you his child. That's what Christmas is about. And I can tell you, this is personal for me. This is personal that you would take this message home. If anything else, if nothing else this Christmas, then for you to take home with you this idea that you belong. It means something, because I know what it feels like to be rejected. I know what it feels like to be made to feel like you don't belong, you don't fit in, you don't matter. I get it. That's not what I want for you. Like I mentioned earlier, I grew up with a single mom, and that's not because they got divorced or anything like that. It's actually because my biological father died before I was born. He was 21 years old, and I don't even know if he knew about me yet. See, my mom and dad, they weren't married, and so he was just running home. He was jogging home after hanging out with his buddies, what any 21-year-old would do, celebrating a birthday at a bar and a restaurant, and in the middle of a sidewalk in front of somebody's house, he dropped dead. It was actually so uncertain. It caused so much uncertainty. They actually have a newspaper article. And this right here is the only thing I have of my dad. This little newspaper article right here. And the reason I don't think that he really knew about me is because when my mom tried to reach out to his family to let them know about me, they didn't want anything to do with me. They said, no, not our son. He wasn't married. Well, things can still happen. But no, not our son. That's not ours. That's not. And she kept trying, and she would send them things, and she would try and reach out to them. And I get it. They felt, maybe they were afraid. She was trying to get something from them or get support. I mean, she didn't even get Social Security for me because he wasn't there to sign the birth certificate. So there was no proof that my biological father actually passed away. So she had no support. So I get, maybe they were concerned. She was trying to come after things. And for a long time, I just grew up, just kind of always wondering, right? Wondering about that piece of me and just kind of wishing I could belong. Because again, this is all I have of him. I've never even seen a picture of my dad. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what he acted like. I don't know what he was like. And I always felt like if I could just hang out with them, then I would have kind of that piece of me, right? I would belong. And years went by, and I just kind of let it go and let it go. And then finally one day, when I was 18,
out of the blue, I decided to go to his gravesite for the first time. And I don't know what made me decide to go. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't his birthday or anything. It wasn't anything unique. I just decided to finally go for the first time. And I went and I found his gravesite. And I'll tell you, I really didn't think it would mean a lot to me. I didn't really think it'd mean anything. I just kind of wanted to go to say, oh, you know, I visited. But I tell you, when I walked up and I saw it for the first time, I wept. I stood there as a big old 18-year-old dude and cried my eyes out. Some of it because it's the idea that I got to miss out on who he was, and I don't know who he was, but I think I'm a good guy, so he must have been halfway decent. But honestly, what made me cry was the fact that it says he's a son, he's a brother, he's an uncle. Wasn't a father. Just like one more nail in the coffin of proving that I was rejected by them. I get that he didn't get a chance to be my dad, but he was my father. But seeing that was just one more proof that they wanted nothing to do with me. They weren't going to let me be connected to him whatsoever. And I stood there and I wept. And I wondered why. Why can't I be worth it to them? I mean, I always thought, wouldn't you want a piece of your son that's left, a piece of your brother, your uncle? Wouldn't you want a piece of him left? I'm here. But I wasn't even worth that to them. Now, standing there on that day, the craziest thing happened where I'm standing there and I'm looking over and I'm crying over the gravesite and I just felt like somebody was coming towards it. And I'm like, please just go away. Because here I mean, it was just like messy crying. You know messy crying, right? Dude's messy, like snot's coming out. That was gross. Person kept walking. I'm like, please just go away. Why am I crying? And then I hear the voice, you must be John. What? Turned out to be my dad's brother, who again on that day just happened to be coming to visit his gravesite. I remember talking to him, and I remember saying so many times over and over again, I just would love to see a picture of my dad. I would just love to see a picture. I don't have anything, right? This is all I have. I don't have anything else. I would just love to see a picture of him. Oh, of course, we'll have you over. We'll show you some stuff. It'd be great. We'll have you over. We exchange numbers, and we talk. And, you know, oh, please, I've never seen a picture. I would love to see a picture of my dad. I just want to feel like I belong, right? I just want to feel like I'm connected. And we left. I never heard from him again. And I called and I reached out and I tried to call, nothing. Nothing. So I do what anybody does that's trying to belong, right? I'm like, well, maybe I just wasn't worth that to them. Maybe I just wasn't worth coming out of their comfort zone and reaching out to me. So maybe I can go to them. And so I looked up where my grandma lived. I looked up online where his mom lived. And I'm like, maybe if I go to them, maybe it'll just be much easier for them. And they can't deny it, right? And I remember pulling up to the house. I remember seeing cars in the driveway. I'm like, oh, they're home. That's good. They're home. I can just walk up there and knock on the door. They'll be like, you know, in your head. And you're thinking, there's going to be like, ah. You know, everybody's going to be excited. This way. So I knock. Cars are in the driveway. They're home. They wouldn't answer the door. Maybe they just didn't hear me. Cars in the driveway. They're home. Still wouldn't come to the door. I did everything I could to try and fit in to what should be my family. It didn't matter. They want nothing to do with me. I know what it feels like to be rejected. To feel like you don't belong. I know what it feels like to feel like no matter what you do, you're just not worth it. And I can tell you this, I know in your life there are things that have happened or might happen
that you sit there and wonder, am I really worth it? Do I really have a place to fit in, to belong? Let me tell you, our God is so good and so faithful that He put on Christmas, sending His child, because you are so worth it to Him, just to make you His child, to give you a place to belong. So let me tell you this, if you ever doubt for a second that you have a place to belong, if you ever think for a second that you aren't worth it, if you ever think for a second that you don't act good enough or do this or do that right, let me tell you this, you belong. You are so beloved that you belong. And when I think back over my life, I can see how God loved me. Constantly drawing me to Himself, constantly reminding me, even when the world, even when my own family rejects me, He's there for me. And He gave me an incredible mom who didn't give up on me, even with no support. He gave me a grandma who was there as my second parent to raise me. Even now, even as I prepared for this message, 15 years after I had gotten to talk to my uncle, that's 15 years ago, I realized one more thing God did for me that day. See, so for so long I thought this is all I have of my dad. And I remember begging my uncle, I just want to see a picture of him. I just want to see a picture of him. I just want to know what he looks like. See, the one thing my uncle said to me that day, it never dawned on me what God was doing for me until this year. My uncle looked at me and he said, "See, for my mom, it's just too hard because you look so much like him." So when I thought I had no idea what he looked like, for 33 years now I have. Because every time I look in a mirror, I know what he looks like. That's the love that our God has for us. Even when we struggle with this world, even when we struggle with the things that go on around us, even when we struggle with loss and grief, and being mistreated, our God is willing to be there in the middle of a graveyard on a random day to send an uncle who can speak some words that 15 years later can warm my heart and show me how I belong. And now I can use those words tonight, today, to tell you, you belong. That's why this church constantly says, welcome home. At Shepherd's Gate, you belong. I don't care if you haven't been inside a church since last Easter or last Christmas, or if this is the first time you stepped foot in a church. Let me tell you, in this place, you belong. And I would encourage you to come back week in and week out so you can be reminded of that. Because the world's not going to tell you that. They're going to try and sell you something else. But here, without anything else, with you just showing up, we will tell you day in and day out, you belong.